Did you ever see Dirty Tiger, Crazy, what was it? No, Skinny Tiger, Fatty Dragon, Skinny Tiger?
Yeah.
Were you the only one, I don't know if it was just me, but were you shocked at the bit where someone grabs that woman and just literally just punches her in the gut?
No, I quite enjoyed it, actually.
I thought so.
I mean, I've watched that many films with Sam Elwood. You get used to it. I got a bit annoyed in one film when women didn't get beat up whatsoever. I thought, something going on here. But I think that's the thing with these films. It's quite a shock if you watch like other films and then you watch a Sam Elwood movie and it's like, oh, I can't believe they did that to that woman. They always get a raw deal, don't they?
Yeah. It's always the biggest shock, though, when you see it around a friend's house. Like the time I showed, what's it called, Tiger on the Beat to one of my mates, and the bit with the glass, and me and Leah, my...
Oh, yeah, she just can't.
She's got fucking brutalised in that.
She does in half, yeah. I think there was a... I heard about the fact that she was... Because she's not from Hong Kong, she's mainland Chinese, so they don't mind it so much, do they?
Yeah, apparently. I don't know how good, but from what I heard, I think it might have been Bailey who said it, but... When she entered the Miss Hong Kong pageant, she spoke Cantonese and she acted like she was all Hong Kong like, and apparently they just hated her for it. Trying to be like them. So when she got a film, they just said, right, Miss Chow, you'll punch her through the glass several times.
Yes.
And if that deed didn't work, no, they've done it. There's, no film in the camera.
Yes.
Let's do it again.
And if that doesn't work, there's a bald guy over there with a chainsaw. Yeah.
No, it's a shotgun on a string.
Oh, that's a great film. That's another one of those films I had on video. Made in Hong Kong, which was a Toby Russell company. They used to do these, like, a lot of these films you could get on VHS. And one of the ones I bought was that one. And I thought it was great. And then when the DVD came out, it was, like, even better. Yeah, I mean...
That video as well.
A guy called Conan Lee. How good is that, for starters? Yeah, you know.
And that was a time when there was still a good Hong Kong Legend DVD that came out with it. It wasn't just like the Dragon Dynasty DVDs that are coming out now. Which shocking.
I was just going to mention that. I saw The Killers just come out. I thought, oh, great. I looked at no, Barry Logan. Won't be buying that then.
But it was Five Deadly Venoms. Have you had a look at that DVD? From Dragon Dynasty.
Oh, yeah, I ordered it. I've ordered it for the Bay Logan commentary, but the fact is, it's got the original dub, and it replaces my old VHS copy. So.
But it didn't even have a fucking trailer for the film on it.
No. No, it was pretty, very light down, you know. It only got like the Bay Logan com, but, you know, that's worth the price of admission most times anyway, so, you know. I'm not arguing. When you've listened to commentaries by Rick Myers and you're thinking, well, I might as well have done that myself. I could have done a better job.
Exactly. We've done three.
But even worse, you could have believed everything he said.
That's true, yes. Logar Lung's dead. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That isn't Jackie Chan, it's his sister. Oh, okay then. I've got one and him and the guys are eating a lunch on it.
As a special feature.
Yeah, it's stuff in the... I've got to say, it was... It was that Kung Fu Master Donnie Yen TV series,
right?
That Tai Seng issued. It was like condensed from 30 hours into about 4. You've got a commentary with Bay Logan and Donnie Yen. Very good. But the extra special feature is a commentary with Rick Fuckall Myers and Bobby Samuels, who's a black martial artist, a stuntman. He's a member of Samo stunt team. Very good. And a guy called, what was his name? Frank Yang, who was one of the guys at Tai Seng. And basically, if you'd got this Frank Yang guy and Bobby Samuels, if they'd have shot Rick Myers in the head, it would have been a good commentary. Because those two guys together were very knowledgeable. And then you got this Myers cunt coming in, like, just fucking it all up. Oh, look, it's Sansa. No, it's not. He wasn't in that film. He was doing another one. Oh, yeah.
So basically, Rick Myers has the whole commentary, him being put down.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, he's... he
said Donnie Yen was in on this as well.
Donnie Yen was in the other commentary with him and Bay Logan, so it was just Bay and Donnie.
Version?
Yeah.
I can just imagine Donnie watching it and thinking, I seem to remember making more than this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And just being very shocked at what's happening.
Yeah, but it's quite good, though, because he was the fight choreographer, so he tells how they worked on using all the proper traditional Hungar stuff in a lot of the fights, just to make it... Because it's about Hung Hae-kyun, the guy that is credited with the Hungar style. So it was pretty good. I did listen to the Rick Myers commentary, just to work out how bad it was. He gets contradicted on most of his commentaries he does with other people. I've got another one he did with Bobby Samuels, and it's the same thing. Oh, that's so-and-so. That's not Lau Kar-young. That's not him. Oh, sorry, I meant Lu Cha Liang, I meant. Oh, okay. All right.
I think he's done his lesson by now.
I've only really watched the one commentary by him, and that was the new Mr. Vampire. And it really got to the point where he just kind of watched the first hour of the film and said, right, I think I've said enough. And then you're left with the next 40 minutes in silence. You just left halfway through the film.
It can't be as bad as the Stephen Hammond commentary on the Postman Fights Back as well. That's the one with Mark King, isn't it?
That's the one I think.
And Bay Logan. Yeah.
I don't like films.
No. I only did it because I got paid.
Yeah. I wouldn't show a girl this film.
Yeah, this one that Stephen Hammer did on the Postman Fights Back. And basically...
I can't remember much, right? I just remember one bit where it says, if you look back and you know your French-Chinese history, this is actually really interesting.
Yes, and then he describes every scene blow by blow, and you think,
I can't remember myself after that.
Yeah.
I just remember watching the film.
Yeah.
That was one of these great things where my friend, his granddad, was like renting loads of DVDs, and he had mentioned that they had like the Italian Fat film. It's all right, great. I've not watched that one yet, and it was getting to like the last half, and we decided to watch the end scene again, where a certain cast member gets killed, and we decided to flip it over to the commentary, and all we hear is like the person on screen blowing up. Then it's just what was his name? I was just going to say Stephanie Myers, but that's the fucking Twilight author.
Stephen Hammond.
I think Stephanie Myers could do an equally good job, though.
Like, boom, seems she
just spent a total 90 minutes plugging her stuff. I can see her doing Miss Hammond goes, the vampires in my books are much better. They're much bad looking and they're not evil.
Yes, and they don't hop about either.
No, but to be honest with you, the idea of vampires that don't hop really puts me off a film.
I know the feeling.
That is why I'll never ever watch the Twilight film.
Good man, that's alright. I don't
blame
you.
The thing is, though, it's put me off all vampire films, though. The thing is, if they don't hop, I won't watch it.
I don't know, there's been some good ones. Have you seen Near Dark?
I haven't, no.
Oh, you should watch it, it's very good. That's a classic. And Fright Night's a good one as well. So put them on your list. They've not got happy hopping vampires, but they are some of the better ones that have been made. Near Dark is by Catherine Bigelow that did Point Break and the recent Hurt Locker. So, cracking film. Well, it's got Lance Henriksen's in it, Bill Paxton, and Jeanette Goldstein that were all in Aliens as well. Very good. And I'd recommend it. And you'd probably pick the DVD up for something silly. And it's got quite a few extras. It's like a commentary, a documentary about my interviews with the cast. It's pretty good, actually.
Have either
of you watched Thirst yet?
Oh, I saw the review of that on Far East Films. No? Mm-hmm. Is it a Park Chan-wook?
It is. And it is quite surprisingly good.
I might give that a whirl, actually, because it got quite a good review.
I've been tempted to get that myself, because I keep seeing it for $9.99 in my local HMV, but I think, I won't bother. I'll get it later, or maybe I'll get it when it's cheaper.
I'll give it a whirl.
Song Kang Ho is probably my favourite Korean actor, or maybe it's just the only one I can actually recognise without.
Or
looking.
It's the fact that any Korean film we watch, he happens to be in it. Like, isn't that the fat bloke for the host? Isn't that the weird bloke from The Good, the Bad, and the Weird?
Yes, isn't that the pissed off guy from the. What's it called? On Public Enemy.
Exactly.
And the happy one from Public Enemy 2, yes.
The dude is pretty much in everything, which isn't really a bad thing either, but...
Oh, no. Yeah. It's only bad if they're bad films. If they're good films, then it's a good thing.
But that movie had me struck, like, I had to write a review about it, and it took me
this
a fortnight...
First,
yeah, it took me a fortnight to write about it. I really had to, like, stop and think about what I was writing, and I had to put effort into this review because it was like effort was put into this film. Because the film, like, basically left me with a lasting impression, and that's what I tried to convey in my review.
Yeah, I'll give it a whirl. I've got to say that a lot of my collection of DVDs is from when Forest Films was called Dragon's Den.
Yeah.
And I'd read the reviews and I think, right, order that one. I'll order that one. I'll order that one. So it's pretty good. Around about bad commentaries with Stephen Hammond. In the Line of Duty 4, Cynthia Khan. It's appalling. And when you think one of the guys doing the commentary was actually in the fucking film.
Michael, I remember thinking that. Is it Michael Wong?
It is.
Michael Wong, yeah. They'd have done a better job. They'd have done a better job.
One night, Michael Wong goes out, gets a bit drunk, and wakes up about a year later and thinking, oh, I made a film.
Yeah. He was really watching it as if he was watching it for the first time.
Oh, yeah, you know that guy that looks like you? Yeah, that's you. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, it's a shame, because it's such a really good film, I have to say.
It is.
Like a mindless film, but it's a good one.
Oh, great fights in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not enough fighting for my liking.
Not enough?
Well, it's not so much not enough fighting, it's just the bit when they're not fighting, it's like the bit where they send that bloke back to see his mother, I remember thinking. They just fight, will you?
Mm-hmm.
Bits in between were just so dire.
I think that's the beauty of... Really, like, we've seen the films enough. We know we're not going to miss something. This is where the fast-forward button saves us time and makes the movie better.
Yeah, it's usually the bit where I go out and put the kettle on.
Come back and say, oh, fucking Sonny Yoon's still crying. Jesus, I think I'll get some biscuits instead. But
Was Sonny Yoon in it?
Was he not the lead?
No, you're thinking of, what's his name? Yoon Yat Cho was the lead, isn't it?
Oh, I thought that was his nickname. I thought, there's too many Yuns.
Unless Sunny and Shinya, you're two different ones. I always get them mixed up. And then you've got Brandy. It's just getting confusing. They've got more Yuns in the Hong Kong fan book. In fact, they are a Hong Kong fan book, so there you go.
Oh, I love how Hong Kong Movie Database has his picture, but they don't put his name underneath it. How do I know which one he is? I would expect it was probably Yoon Yat Cho. We'll find out. It is Simon Yin Jr. That was the only other nickname he had. But yeah, I've obviously gotten him mixed up with somebody else.
Junior. Alright, okay. He's also in Legend of the Fighter, actually, as a lead in that. I'm not going to do the rest of this commentary, Stuart, that the fact you haven't got a copy of that film in your collection. It's disgraceful.
It just never came to me. I mind when I met Jim and Richard, one of the guys from the old Hong Kong cinema website I used to run, and it's like I had just picked up Drunken Master for the first time. I'd never seen it then.
Yeah.
And they basically told me then that, like, you just have to buy that now and watch it. It came duly down to the point of availability.
Yeah. You should be able to get a copy of it anyway, somewhere.
I love Love Film. I was looking for the rental there, and it chose the closest result instead of the film. I put Legend of a Fighter, then the text was replaced with Legend of Zorro. No! Did I ask for Legend of a Fighter? No.
Yeah.
Legend of the Drunken Master. There you go. I'll put it to the top of my... Oh, I could rent that and Street Fighter, The Legend of Chun-Li.
Ooh, that would be good. Yeah. I was actually being sarcastic there.
anyway, let's continue on. This could just be put into a healthy, deleted conversation.
People seem to like the extras you get as being a... don't they? So
they're the best bit.
Yeah, they are. Especially when you get cut off and Ken calls you an arsehole, yeah. So.
Aye. They're putting the folder that's cried evidence.
Well, yeah, there are a few unpleasant Jackie Chan films that were made.
I think it's pretty much everything that isn't Drunken Master, Snake and Eagle's Shadow.
Yeah. Well, no, saying that, it's not really a case of 70s, 80s. His is... I think it might actually be from when the career took off, like maybe from 73 to 82, so they get Dragon Lord as well.
So, I mean, Snake and Crying Arts of Shaolin is a pretty good film as well.
Yeah.
And Dragon Fist, I seem to recall, is pretty good.
I've never gone to that one.
Best of a bit. Oh, I've got one once called Eagle Shadow Fist, starring Jackie Chan. And he gets killed about 30 minutes in. You're thinking, oh, okay. Well, then, like, some, yes, unless he doesn't, like, walk past the camera or something. Which has happened, starring Jackie Chan. I didn't see him. He must have blinked. There you go.
So that's when the freeze framing comes in.
Yes. Take a leaf out of Malcolm McDowell's book. Take your eyelids up.
Okay, so, miracles.
So I thought you said medicals then. I was thinking, that's a bit personal. How dare you? But I'd like to see the Hong Kong cut, because he reshot a whole series of it, didn't he? Yeah.
Didn't it include Moon Lee? He gave it like a whole new
plot with Moon Lee.
Yeah. I'd like to get a copy of that.
Yeah, because, that did come out on Hong Kong Legends as well, but obviously it was the American print. I don't think it included...
It was the American print, I
deleted scenes either, because even if they had those scenes as deleted ones, like when they'd released Zoo Warriors from the Magic Mountain, and they actually had all the deleted scenes from the American version.
Uh-huh,
and it had Yin Bu. It was put down as some sort of time travel.
He's like a student. His university has martial art power, which he can't really control, and meets a gorilla, and something happens. I can't quite remember what. Then he wakes up in Two Warriors from the Magic Mountain. And then he wakes up and goes back to the other film.
Yeah, I thought it was actually surprisingly good. God, it's escaping me, but... Yeah, it was something like Zoo Time Warriors.
Wasn't it Iceman Cometh that they did that with?
No, this was Zoo Warriors.
That's a
film,
I think.
Oh, okay.
We've got the quote here. The English language version was put down as Zoo Time Warriors, which did include 25 minutes of extra footage, which was filmed in Canada.
Sorry, is he like in a coma, isn't he, in his lodge?
He was like a modern-day fencing champion transported via his dreams whilst in a coma back to an oriental fantasy. Yeah, I thought it was really cool that they actually had all that footage on the DVD. See, that was when the DVDs were done well.
I'm surprised. It's pity Brian White and Bay Logan can't team up with Mr. Banner, isn't it, really?
Aye.
It seems they get onto a good thing, and then somebody cocks it up, and then it goes down the pan, then they go somewhere else, they're on a good thing, someone cocks it up, and it goes down the pan.
I've not been following it, but I'm pretty sure it hasn't. Like, Bay Logan left Dragon Dynasty as well.
Yeah, he's gone.
So, see, I reckon if even Brian White's still with...
Maybe Cineasia should employ them.
Because Cineasia's like got the UK market by the balls, don't
they? Yeah, they have. Yeah,
everything they release is pretty good at the moment.
Aye, and there's like efforts, even if it's just how they're doing the Dragon Dynasty. Like we're getting like Tai Chi Master and Fist of Legend 2 disc special editions in the UK. Mm.
Yeah,
what's not to love? Yeah. They are probably just American ports with new menus, but still, it's these great films are now readily available, like easy to like. You've got so much more choice even when it comes to renting. This is...
Yeah.
I've got to be honest, I've bought all the Region 1 versions anyway.
I know.
I'll be bothering.
I've got half a dozen of them myself, but things like Tai Chi Master I never bothered with, but if it's coming to our doorstep now, it's like, wait.
I haven't bought any of them. I've already got the Hong Kong version of Tai Chi Master, so...
Yeah,
that's what I've got. I've got
the
old MIH Fist of Legend, so... The VCD... Tai Chi Master I had was, it's got this cool shot on the cover, and it was when he was doing his Tai Chi, and he was doing really fast, and all the leaves started getting blown up around him. It's a still shot of him doing that with all the leaves, which is a good alternative cover. But I had picked up Tai Chi Master, Feng Sai Yuk, and Feng Sai Yuk 2.
I've not seen that.
No, I had picked them all up off of when like CD Wow was a good place to buy DVDs from.
Oh, that used to be brilliant. I used to get all my shows from them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they always had these like stupid coupons. Like you just go into a Google search and then you found like you could get £2 off your next purchase, and it's like the code's never expired, you kept using the same one.
Yeah.
I got like all those DVDs. I got like 3 films for like £4.50.
What a bargain.
I know, and it's like ka-ching, and now it's just like this hollow shell of some corporate site.
It was the British Phonographic Institute that had them as well, wasn't it? Because I did play.com for the parallel importing. And then I did CDWare, and then that went bust, went into receivership. And I crap now, got to be honest. I used to buy, as you said, I'd get all my Shaw Brothers. And was it the Kung Fu fandom? People used to like list all the codes, and you'd be getting like all these new release Region 3 shows for like £5 each and stuff. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, because other than that, they were like £8 or £9 on Yes Asia. And
yeah.
I think it's about two good places to get shows now if you want, if you're still looking for some.
Yeah, where's that?
There's DDD House.
Oh, yeah, I use DDD House.
And yeah, there's another one which Mike Banner mentioned on the show a while ago, which is actually quite good.
Yeah?
It's called Thai Megamart.
Oh, and that's the website where it gives you the choice whether you want the covers or a case with the DVD or not, and you get cheaper if you don't ask for the case.
Ah, right, okay. Thai Megamart. Let me write that down.
Thailand. Or if you I believe the actual address is just thaimegamart.com, I think, but
okay.
If that's not it, just type it into Google, Thai Megamart, and Thai the country, not the clothing accessory.
you know what I'll be doing lately then? Because I normally used to get...
I had a good look on there ages ago when I wanted to, but I think I ended up going to DVD House instead.
All my Tony Jar stuff I used to get from E-Thai CD, but now you've mentioned Thai Megamart, that sounds good.
Yeah, I haven't bought anything from them, but I do know they have loads of shows on DVD and CD.
Right, I'll have a look at that. Thanks for that.
Right.
There is a story attached to my records. I think I mentioned before, Bay Logan, when he was based in Birmingham, he used to run film shows on a Sunday afternoon at a kickboxing gym in John Bright Street in Birmingham. And he'd show all these different films like The Fight from Millionaire's Express, Donnie Yen stuff, Hand of Death, all things like that. And he kept going on about this Jackie Chan film, The Miracle. So we got chatting, and he used to sell like films. I bought a few Jackie Chan films, like The Big Brawl and Dragon Lord and what have you. And he said, oh, these new films come out. He said, I might be able to get you a copy of that. So leave me your name and address, and I'll let you know when it's done. A couple of weeks later, gets a little postcard through the door. It's ready. Just go over and pick it up. Never got around to picking it up. So there you go. So I had to wait till like 18 months before it came out on video from the local video store, which is there no more, which is a shame. And I thought it was really good. The comedy element was there. And I started to get a bit of knowledge about Jackie Chan and his characters, because I recognise Ewan Bue as a very short cameo in it amongst the people. Yeah, when he gives him his bed, gives him some money and whatever. Basically, it introduced me to... Well, it didn't introduce me, because I'd seen Wheels on Meals before. Richard, who cracks me up every time I look at him. And I couldn't believe he was in that absolutely fantastic Scottish soap opera, Take the High Road, I believe.
No, I think it was close. River City.
Oh, right, okay. Well, I couldn't understand what any of them were saying, so there you go. I have to say, I thought it was really good. You know, the dubbing was like the same blokes yet again. And I thought the fight scenes were really creative, and I quite enjoyed the storyline to it as well. And it's only years later that you'd realised it was a combination of two American films. So, but I really enjoyed it. As I said, I was a big Jackie Chan fan, unlike I am now, but there you go.
I love Miracles. It's my favourite Jackie film of all time. And I love the fact that it's not really violent. All the fight scenes are comical and no one really gets hurt. Well, apart from that bit at the beginning.
Yeah.
And for the fact the entire film, Jackie Chan tries to make a bunch of gangsters go straight.
Yeah.
It's the type of film that I could watch with anyone and not have anyone get embarrassed about anything or be offended. To this day, it remains my favourite Jackie film. And the fact, and the only thing that's even better about it is the fact that Richard Oom is in it, and he was better than Jackie, I thought.
He's just great. Honestly, the guy just cracks me up. He really does. In fact, I'm going to start laughing now, just thinking about it. Yeah, he ain't got to say anything, has he? Just
It is that great scene when he first tries to convince Jackie to help him, and he's going around like his office, setting off the steam, knocking over the coat rack, and even when he's sitting in the chair leaning against the table, like in the outtakes, he knocks the desk over, and you could almost think that that's just Richard Doom. This is not a character. He's playing himself. I'm pretty sure he is just one really clumsy cunt.
I just thought everything about Miracles was brilliant. I loved setting. I think one of the most memorable bits for me was after Richard Doom helps Jack and he says no, and Jackie tries to say, he goes, oh, nothing happened. He goes, oh, he didn't. I think it's...
I'm not sure who
his second command was. He just says, he asked you to help him, didn't he? He
goes, no. Wu Ma and Billy Lau came in and started trying to ask him questions. They basically repeated the same speech.
Yeah.
And says, what, have you said it as well? And he's like, yeah, even the cleaning lady knows his, like, get up. But
They're good characters, Wu Ma and, like, Billy Lau. They're like his two, his right and his left-hand men, aren't they? And he's like, what do I do? Oh, well, you know. It's, I think the big thing about it is, when I got the DVD, the amount of extra footage there was that had been cut out for the international release. It's about 20 minutes. And, I mean, when you think of actual screen time, that's quite a big portion of the film, 20 minutes. The other thing that, when I first watched it, was the opening Steadicam shot. And it's just a great big tracking shot. And it's just, and you can tell he's obviously been learning a lot about, you know, cinematography and things like that. You know, I agree with you. It is a very good film. Cracking fight at the end with Billy Chow, yeah. And you know, who appeared in quite a few films at that time. It's a big fight in a rope factory, and it's just you know, like the gags. It comes like the stunts. It comes up with you think, oh, that's incredible. Like those big, great, big like rolls of twine that are rolling around, and you got to take your hat off to him. He's
You could just, it is one of those things, you could see him going into a rope factory and just his eyes light up with ideas and says, oh, I could go up this, I could run along that, we could throw somebody off the list, I could hit a guy, I could catch some cunt in that.
Yeah.
We could start doing a wee skipping rope scene at the very top of the building. I'll be fine.
There's not a lot of fights in it, but the fights that there are bloody good. The fight in that, like, diner, that cafe thing, bit.
When they're meeting up with Tiger.
Yeah, just excellent. When he's sliding down the banister and stuff, just, you know, it's excellent.
It is. I do remember when there was an active Jackie Chan online forum community, I'm pretty sure they did do, like, polls upon polls of trying to decide what was the best Jackie fights and, like, out of his entire career, and Miracles won it. That is, like, the film that, well, some terrorist organisation says it lacks.
I'm just glad this terrorist organisation hasn't gone to see The Spy Next Door.
I've decided I'll never, ever see that film for a long while. Because it looks very, very dodgy from the trailer.
The pedo next door, they should have called it.
Just does that. I think there's one scene where he's tied a rope around his key, just literally pulling him back to him. There's another scene, I don't know, I think I've seen it, maybe I saw it wrong, but scene where he's holding this pair of girls' underwear and this little girl just jumps in, and I just thought, what a fucking paedophile.
Yeah, man, he's got a Gary Glitter track on in the background, isn't he?
I don't care if he is Jackie Chan, he still doesn't do that.
No, he doesn't.
You know, I can forgive him if he kills people and blows up stuff, but...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But if it helps children get dressed, blasphemy.
Jackie Chan doesn't look lecherous.
He hung up just in case.
Yes, he should. Hey,
well,
there, hey.
Not just for that, or maybe just to stop him making bad films.
So
that might be a tad harsh.
I think it's quite sad that you look at what Jackie Chan accomplished in Hong Kong and what he's had to do in America. I think it's quite sad, really, when you think...
It is sorry, considering he doesn't actually have to do it.
I think that's the thing. Drunken Master on our forum had mentioned, the opening scenes of The Spy Next Door includes sort of like a montage showing you, like, basically Jackie Chan's character as a spy, and it was showing you scenes from Armor of God and maybe Police Story. Just, yeah, I think it was like scenes where he was hanging off the bus, or scenes when he was like in the native villages in Armor of God, like sort of like his track record, like some of his successful cases in the past. But it really emphasised on how his career's kind of died.
You know, I'm surprised it didn't show a shot of him in his koala pants out of
well, first strike.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah,
I've always known as Police Story 4.
Oh, here we go. Yes, yeah. Imagine the DVD, The Spy Next Door, aka Police Story 5.
Or 6, maybe.
6, yes.
If you count new Police Story.
Oh, it could be new Police Story 2.
They could call it Pedo Story 1, couldn't they?
You could do.
So, Jim.
I don't think that would sell so well to the family crowd.
It probably wouldn't. Well, it depends what sort of family.
Right, so, my thoughts on Miracles. Okay. I kind of personally love the movie because you could think it's really to do with the story. The first half of the film is, yeah, Jackie Chan accidentally becomes the head of this gang. He's just like an innocent country bumpkin type fella, and he's just trying to make them turn straight. But the true story to this film is when the other female in the movie, as the original title mentions, Lady Rose, has her daughter coming back from Shanghai, and she's been writing letters giving an impression that she lives the life of royalty where she is actually just a pauper. And Jackie basically ropes his entire gang into basically just doing this one big charade, like making them dress up all looking like businessmen, making her look posh, getting Bill Tung to dress up like who was originally a swindler at the start of the movie that screwed Jackie out of his money, getting him to come in and pretend to be like the husband, and it all becomes like a really heartwarming type scene. Like even at the
funny
end,
though,
where,
as well,
where it has like Anita Moy and Jackie Chan both kind of crying, and they're just trying to keep these straight faces, because it is that heartwarming just to see like that family scene working so well. It is the best part when Jackie tries to wipe up her makeup. Well, no, wipe the tears off her face, but instead he smudges the lipstick across her face. It's like, how do you look? And it's like, fine, fine. And then I think he genuinely just broke character and burst out laughing.
She was a very good comic actress, I have to say. When you think she was, it wasn't her major claim to fame.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the part she plays in Drunken Master 2 as well was like
brilliant
in that. Yeah, you know, it's just hats off to her.
Yeah, aye.
Shame she's no longer with us.
Exactly. But hey, that could easily become a special in the future.
I think that's very good. Yes, good idea.
Yeah,
she deserves a special, I think.
Yeah, I mean, she was. Sorry, Jim. Go
on. She deserves a special. I mean,
this movie, I think, also was known in a way that, like, if you had a drinking game when it comes to famous Hong Kong stars making cameos in a movie, this would ruin your liver. I mean, it's got like near enough everyone shy of Bruce Lee and Chow Yun-fat appearing in this film. Of course, Lo Lei plays like one of the bad guys of the movie. Well,
yes, he does.
He is on Jackie's team, but he's not happy. Obviously, that was his post. He was obviously next in line to be head of the gang. But due to fate, it's Jackie. But yeah, like the gang members always consist of like Mars, Tai Po, Ken Lo. I'm pretty sure Ken Lo appears in it. And we also get, again, the great Fung Ha Kon plays one of the many gangsters in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got even like the great cameos from like Yin Bu, Ricky Hoi, Billy Chow, a really young Simon Yam, and like Jackie Chung. I'm pretty sure there is many others, like Anthony Chan, John Shum. There's just so many people in this movie.
If you live in Hong Kong, there's loads more that you would recognise from TV as well.
Right, of course.
I remember watching it with my ex, and she pointed out about 10 of them, but I can only remember 2 of them. I remember now, it was the hotel worker that gets fired. Apparently that guy in real life has quite a stutter.
Right.
She was confused as to why he didn't in the film.
There was there's a similar scene. We see the Twinkle Twinkle Lucky Stars at the end when they all come out the elevator.
Yes.
It's like spot who that is.
They're all saying the exact same line.
Yeah.
Fuck, I can't mind it. But I that had everyone like Chinsu Ho and I think Melvin Wong. They had,
David Chang, George Lam, loads of people, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was completely unnecessary, but it was just a great thing to add on to another great film.
Maybe because they could.
Maybe they had like a quota, like, right, we need to, they made a promise and said, right, we need at least 20 celebrity cameos. And they made the film, was like, fuck, we forgot about the cameos. So, oh yeah, I've got an idea. So they bring in like Moon Lee, George Lam, Dini Yip, Mang Hoi, David Lam, Kenny Ho, wasn't Leung Kar-Yan as well. I'm just skimming
and
through the list.
Dini Yip's in there as well somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Just so many people. Yep, Miracles is just one of those must-have movies. Whether it's called Mr. Canton or Lady Rose, Miracles, or in America, Jackie Chan is Black Dragon.
Sorry, that's excellent.
Yep. Things have never really changed because
Black Dragon.
It's now we're now seeing like the American release of the Shinjuku incident, and that's now being put down in as Jackie Chan in the Shinjuku incident. It's the fact that they have to mention the famous person's name. It's no like. Robert Downey Jr. in Iron Man, like, as a full title. Like, people will start complaining then, but still,
it's Jackie all Chan marketing is... at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. It is the selling point. It doesn't matter that his mug's on the front cover, but no. Jackie Chan is Black Dragon.
Well, Black Dragon sounds a lot cooler than Jackie Chan is Miracle.
They do make up for it, because there is the small subtitle underneath it saying, previously released as Miracles.
Yeah, give them credit for that.
I remember the VHS in the 80s. It was another one on the Imperial label, funnily enough. If they're still going, that can give me some money if I keep plugging them. And it was called Miracles, and underneath it was the Canton Godfather.
Yes.
And he was standing on the front with like a Tommy gun.
So. Oh, the Black Dragon one just seems to be a shot of Jackie with Luke. It really does look like a photoshopped hat. Like, he's sort of tipping his cap, but it just looks like it's been photoshopped onto that head.
Black Dragon, where did they get that? Where did that come from?
Wasn't even his name. I'm pretty sure he had a relatively innocent name.
You got a hoot, I suppose. I despair sometimes for that poor... It's like the old... They'd release the films, and if you wanted it to do well in America, it'd have to have, like, death in the title or something, do you know what I mean? Or killer.
Aye,
death or killer, yeah, ninja death, death of the ninja killer, what have you. Like, Five Fingers of Death instead of Kickbox, you know what I mean? And it's, I don't know, it's a shame.
Man, after this discussion, I really think they should release, like, another American release with the title of Cameo Clusterfuck, previously released as Twinkle Twinkle Lucky Stars. That's a Photoshop waiting to happen, I think.